Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. As a businesswoman, I'm in the business of making money. And those of you that are interested in expanding your financial portfolio, I invite you to visit www.unveilingsecrets.com. That's www.unveilingsecrets.com. Let me show you the secrets of making money at home. As an author, my four books, the first one, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. Secondly, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. Third book, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. And my new release, Unlimited Possibilities, The Roadmap to Restoration. Hot Topics from the Soul was created about 3 years ago to be a platform and a lifeline to the community. We talk about social issues, relationships, family, finances, and so much other things on the air. As tonight I have with me my special guest, Hazel Goodman. Hazel, are you there?
I am here and happy to be here.
I'm excited. Now, Hazel, we've gone back a few years. And in meeting you, I met you on the speaking circuit, getting into the motivational and inspirational speaking industry, and had no idea that you were a comedian.
Right, right.
Now,
yeah,
you know,
I've always...
Now, when I met you and we were talking about you speaking, and when you got up on that stage, you were so dynamic. I mean, you were explosive. And then when they told me that you were an actress, too, I was like, oh, she is a rap. She has it all down together. But tonight,
yeah, I mean,
tonight we're going to talk to Hazel about Hazel, the comedian, the actress, and the woman. Hazel, you have
well,
the floor.
I am delighted to be here. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Yeah, the comedian, oh my goodness. I think I kind of bumped into comedy. I did not know that I was a comedian. I remember I was in college and I had written a piece. I had written a play, a solo play, a one-woman show. And I was doing a particular piece that I thought was supposed to be very dramatic, you know. And the audience started laughing. And I was really taken aback by that. You know, I didn't like that. But as time went on, I started to like the laughter. I recognized I had a gift. Other than being dramatic, you know, I had a gift to be comedic, that I could use my talent to also make people laugh. Because when they're laughing, you're able to hit them with things that they might not absorb when they're being serious. But through the laughter, they can get the message in another way and absorb it.
Now, I understand that you first knew you wanted to be in the acting industry when you were 6 years old and you watched The Sound of Music.
Yeah. I was in Trinidad. You know, I'm originally from Trinidad. And so I'll never forget. I remember my cousin taking me to the movie theater, and I saw Sound of Music. And something about seeing all those kids on the screen just crystallized the dream for me. You know, because I was, of course, like many kids who want to be in the arts, I was always performing and singing, you know, to anybody who would come over and listen. Any guest that came to the house got my performance. But when I saw the kids, something crystallized in me and let me know that, you know what, I could do that. I could have that. That dream could happen for me.
So
that's when it was born.
So, were you a jokester at the age of six?
You know, I don't remember being so much a jokester. I know that they said that I was very talkative and, you know, just very independent-minded and probably a little rude, as they would say in the West Indies. You know, you're so rude. Child's so rude, you know, you talk back. People say something, I'd respond back, you know. So I always had that kind of feisty spirit. Was always curious and, you know, looking out and expecting more and knowing somehow there's more for me, there's more.
You know, I think we all go through that transition in our life. You know, we go from glory to glory, as God's word says, we're always seeking and looking because of the fact that when we're born and we show up on the planet, we come here with a purpose inside of us, and we're constantly, from the day of inception, trying to define what that purpose is and what that ultimate goal line is that God wants us to reach. Now, you watch the movie The Sound of Music. Then as you got into your teenage years, then you entered into the comedian, or was it the acting that came first?
Yeah, the acting, I would say, well, you know, actually I went into the teenage years with the wanting years because I wanted to go to performing arts high school. In fact, when I came here at the age of 8 to meet my mom, I was just sort of biding time until it was finally time to go to high school and get into the, you know, because I had my eyes set on the performing arts, the high school of performing arts, and I didn't get in. And I remember just being very devastated by that. And went to an academic high school. I went to Bryant High School in Queens. And that turned out to be actually a great experience because I got a well-rounded education and I just got to see and understand much more than I might have had I just done the arts from such a tender age, you know. So, but what I did, I suppressed the dream, you know. Because at that time in my life, you're a child, you don't really know what to do with rejection and to do with that kind of pain. And my mother was very encouraging. But, you know, again, parents oftentimes don't see a career in the arts as being very lucrative or being the ultimate goal for their children, you know. So I really suppressed it, and I turned my interest to fashion. And so I pursued fashion, and in high school I was sewing, and I got involved in other clubs. I never got involved in the drama club, interestingly, but I got involved in the leadership. Yeah, I never touched it. It was interesting. I never touched it in high school. I just focused on other things, you know, like I said, fashion and sewing, and, you know, I did a leadership course, which I loved. I did a lot of that. English was another major that I enjoyed very much. So I just focused on my academics and my creative interests. And then when it was time to go to college, I went to the Fashion Institute of Technology, you know, pursuing again the dream to be in fashion. And I never again thought about acting. And it wasn't until my last semester in the Fashion Institute of Technology that I took an acting course, and it was being offered as an English elective. And okay. So I took this course, and that just, everything just exploded. Everything I thought I had buried just came alive. Like every time we had an exam, your exam would be an audition, you know, or you'd have to perform. And the teacher just kept saying, what are you doing here? It's almost as if I was hiding and I got discovered, you know, like the wool got pulled off, you know, the rock was lifted. And I'll never forget a fellow student said to me when we had our final. And the final was an audition piece. And I actually got the part. And she said, it was so profound because you think at that age in college, you still don't know a lot about life. But this young lady looked at me and she said, you know, Hazel, you're not like any of us. You don't belong here. She said, when you're up on that stage, you know, we can't do that.
Wow.
And she didn't know anything about my dream. She didn't know anything about my high school dream. She didn't know anything about the rejection I had gotten from performing arts that caused me to bury the dream. She didn't know any of that. But, you know, when God has a plan, you can't hide, right? When that gift is in you, it will come out at the appointed time. So from that point, that's when I went back to another college. I went to City College and began studying acting and took off from there.
Now, because you were in the fashion industry, is that how you were featured in Vogue and People and Vibe magazines?
No, that actually came out of when I got my HBO special several years ago, and that was part of the publicity, you know. So I had gotten this one-woman show, and I still do this show. It's evolved much, and I've added other characters, obviously, but it's very timely because the characters are always able to talk about current events and what's going on in the culture right now, with social issues, political issues. I talk about them all through the voice of these characters. And so it was in doing the show, and HBO picked it up, that was a part of the promotion. So that's how I end up in Vibe and People and all the various magazines for that.
Wow. I spoke with you earlier today, and I said, now, you know, I've known you for years, and we talked on several occasions about different things, but I was like, I got a little nervousness about her. I said, you know, she's worked with, you know, Woody Allen, Whoopi Goldberg, Oprah Winfrey, Jane Fonda, Glenn Colson, and the list goes on. But one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show is because you're going to be appearing in a new movie that will be released Christmas Day called Extremely Loud and Extremely Close with Tom Hanks and Sandra Bullock. Now that is
extremely
huge.
Loud. And you know that title is something because I have twisted that title in so many ways. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
You know,
yeah,
it sounds,
you know,
just like you, you know.
Yeah, it's. I'm excited, actually. The premiere is on Thursday evening. I'll be going to that. But the actual opening to the public of the film happens on Christmas Day. And it's a great film. It's a film about a young boy who and the 9/11 tragedy. And I don't want to say too much more about it because I don't want to give it away for people. But, you know, it's well written, it's captivating, and I think some really great things are going to come out of it. And it's interesting because in it I play an evangelist, you know. I call her that. I play an evangelist. And I think somebody, they did a pre-screening, and I think they even used my real name in the film. But it was really lovely, you know. It was offered to me to do, you know, the director, Stephen Daltrey, was familiar with my work in another project I had done on the stage, actually. And when my mom passed away, I created a prayer group. You know, I would pray. I had prayer partners I would pray with every morning. And, you know, we did a prayer meeting at my house, and he found out about that. And so we were out one evening, all of us, after a show, and he started asking me about what I did and so forth and so on, how the prayer meetings were. And then he told me about the film and what he was thinking and how he would like to, you know, create a role in there, a scene in there, because the young boy has a key that he has to discover. What is this? What's the meaning of this key? And so it's about his journey going to all of these people's homes. And my home is one of the homes he comes to in looking for this key, and I'm conducting a prayer meeting. And it's just so funny. It's just, it's beautifully written. It's quite moving in parts, and I'm excited about it, very excited.
Well, I'm very excited, too, which leads me into Hazel, the woman. You know, what was the turning point? You know, here you are. You know, you're a successful comedian. You have your own HBO special, which individuals that have been in the industry for almost ever have not been mm-hmm. able to get their own HBO specials. I've looked at comedians, you know, on a BET several times, but never seen them with their own show. And it's a select few that get that opportunity, and I am so proud of you that you were able to accomplish that.
Thank you.
And then you are the actress. I remember sitting down watching television one evening from a hectic day, and I was flipping channels. And, you know, one of my favorite channels to stop on is Law & Order. And I was watching
yes.
I was watching it, and I'm like, she looks familiar. Now, you know, when you see someone on television that you know, you'd be like, is that them? Because even in news media, when somebody you know, you see them on television, you're like, do I know them? Well, that's how
uh-huh.
I felt when I was sitting there, and I was watching a Law & Order episode, and I kept watching. I'm like, I know her. And then when I saw you, you know, with your little moves and your acting, I was like, I know her.
That's her.
Yeah, it was absolutely. So that was my actual first time seeing you in action, was when I was watching Law & Order. You were there on the regular Law & Order. And you did a splendid job. But
well,
you've appeared
you.
In
thank
so many
you.
Other shows. Can you give a rundown of some of the things people, because, you know, like I said, people seen you but didn't realize they saw you.
Right. Yes, yes. That definitely can happen. Third Watch, when that was on for a while, Homicide I did, Deconstructing Harry, that was, you know, that made history because I was the first African-American woman to be in a Woody Allen film, and that was a great experience. What else? Oh, my goodness. Hannibal, Heat. Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, you know, numerous stage productions and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, it's just, you know, you and I think for me, I drive more, I focus more on making sure that whenever I do work, that I do my best work, you know, that I do quality work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always really very important to me. So it's not so much, you know, what I've done, but that I do good work whenever they see me, you know, that I show up in quality productions and that the work is well done. That means more to me than anything.
Absolutely, and I can speak that you're a woman of excellence, of character, and every time I see you, you are looking absolutely flawless. And you're the total package, and which, you know, I'm trying to get into this Hazelle the woman aspect of it because I'm in awe of where you are in your life right now. And I want you to share with the audience, those of you that have just joined me, I'm speaking with Hazelle Goodman. She's a comedian, an actress, a motivational speaker, and she is in ministry. So, Hazelle, if you can share with them how you became or wound up in this dispensation of your life for the listeners. And also you can visit her website, Hazelle.com, if you want to follow her in the movie industry. You can get a whole outline. She has some clips on her website as the comedian and the actress. But I have her tonight up close and personal where we're going to hear Hazelle's heart and where she is beating from right now.
Well, you know, ministry, as you said, I think if anyone had told me that I would be interested in ministry or that I would be ministering, I would think, no, you know, the stage is my pulpit, you know. In fact, I used to always say that because my mom, you know, she's passed away now a year ago, but she was a minister. And so that for me was her calling, but my ministry, I saw it always as being on the stage or in front of the camera. I would minister in that way, I thought to myself, if I even used the word ministry, because I thought it sort of limited me to just the church.
Mm-hmm.
And but I always, always, you know, have been on a quest to know God. That's always been the underlying current of my life and responsible for all my success. Because I've always gone after things from a spiritual place first. I've never been able to just sort of, you know, drive after goals. You know, some people are really good at beating the door down and just being driven. I can do it, but I always have to pray about it first. I got to pray. I got to meditate. I got to do my yoga. I got to drink my green tea. I got to fast. I got to stand on my head. You know, I've always been in search of the spiritual. So even though, you know, I didn't think of myself going into ministry or thinking about it, I've always been in search of God and understanding God. And so I've looked at different practices. You know, I grew up Christian. My mom certainly was a Christian minister. But I looked in, you know, I looked in the windows of the Hindus, and I looked in the window of Buddhism, and I looked in many windows, you know. And my mom passed away November 15th of 2010. And it was interesting because that was about 7 days when she stopped speaking and was just in a kind of a, you know, that making her transition period. And I felt myself being reeled in, you know, I felt myself coming fully full circle back to God, you know, the God of the Bible, Jesus, you know, understanding the message of Jesus, understanding the power of the Holy Ghost that we've been given. All of that, I mean, as a child, I grew up and, you know, studied and so on, but it was interesting, you know, you got older and you kind of go and search and find your way and lose your way and so on. But everything just became very, very clear to me. I couldn't get my head out of the Bible as my mom was leaving. You know, it was what was comforting me. It was certainly comforting her. And then after she made her transition, I did what she – immediately started doing what she used to do. She had prayer partners every morning at 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. And I would say, you know, Mommy, you need to sleep late, da-da-da. But when my mom went, girl, I understood why she had prayer partners, because I felt this clearing, and that's how I will describe it. I will call it a clearing inside of me, that I was now given, I had this space that I had to fill up. And I just began to fill it up with prayer, you know, with prayer partners. And then I later started my prayer call. We started back in March with one person on the call, and now we're up to over 50 people on the call. And, you know, chatting with you, I now transferred it to a blog talk call. So they can, people can hear the call or join us at Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. On Blog Talk Radio / Hazel Goodman. But I started doing that, and I just started ministering. It was just, you know, there's that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not of evil, to give you a future and an expected end, or sometimes some translations say give you a future and a hope. But the thing is, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. And so what it's just fascinating to me that this is my appointed time to do exactly what I'm doing. And it's not that I can't act, it's not that I can't perform, but this takes priority. And I'm excited. You know, Val, I'm really excited. I just got back a product that I created, and it's called Psalms of the Bible. And it will be available on my site in the next few days for purchase. But I got it, and I created this CD of Psalms, you know, reading the Psalms of the Bible, and about 18 different Psalms, because whenever I feel anxious or afraid or worried, you know, the Psalms would soothe me. And I started taping them on my phone and listening back to them. Well, as a result, God put the idea in my mind to create a CD of Psalms. And so I shared it with some friends last night, a husband and wife couple. And I went over and I said, hey, these are my CDs. And, you know, the husband immediately opened it up and popped it in. And they said the most beautiful thing. They said, oh, my gosh, this is so beautiful. It's so soothing. You know, and our husband said something. He said, you know, if you're in a bad mood and you listen to this, it will immediately change your mood. And I'm so grateful, Val, really, to be using my gifts now to celebrate God and to because God has been so faithful in my life through the most challenging times. You know, when my mom left, I thought, oh, my God, you know, being the only child. And it was just a tough moment. And if I didn't know how to pray, if I didn't know God, I don't know that I could have stood, you know. So I'm just really grateful to now, at this point in my life, to use my ability to perform and to speak and to inspire, to use it for God. I mean, I'm just so excited. It's not about an Oscar. It's really about winning people's lives, you know, giving people hope. That's the message I'm excited about. You know, if I do a show, I do a performance, that's great. And, you know, people stop me all the time and talk about how the shows have impacted them. You know, a woman wrote me on Facebook from the prison. I have a prison ministry that I do weekly at Bedford Hills Correctional. And this woman wrote me and said how she'd seen my show. I did the show in the prison once and how it impacted her and so on. And that's lovely. But what I love about the gospel and the Bible is that sometimes you can just give somebody a scripture and it will just go inside and soothe them. And that is what I'm up to. And that's what the woman is about at this point in her life. Who can I help? Who can I inspire? Who can I encourage? Who can I remind of the greatness that's in them, that God placed in there? You know, not religion, you know. Sometimes when people say, oh, you know, you got so religious now. No, I'm not religious. Religion divides, you know, religion divides, religion separates. Religion says, I'm going to go into your church and shoot you down because you're a doctor that performs abortions. religion does that. I will burn down this abortion clinic. I will. That's not God. That's not God. God said, "Vengeance is mine; I will repay." So I don't. That's it's not on me to be evil. And religion does that kind of thing. And people can sometimes be so caught up in religion and be so ritualistic that they miss the spirit of God. You know, they miss that beautiful message that Christ was teaching, which was an empowering message, very empowering message. And I love, you know, what Paul said in Philippians 4:13. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what I want to be able to do, is to remind people that there's a power inside of you. I don't care how low you are. I don't care what you're going through. There's a supernatural power that God has given us that we can use, that when we call on it by faith, that our lives, whatever the circumstances, can be changed. I think that's the most important thing in life, man.
You know,
it's funny. I just think it's so important. Go ahead.
You know, as I'm listening to you, and I am seeing a pictorial of the steps that God has ordered you into this appointed place that you are right now, from the time when you were six and watching The Sound of Music. And I remember watching The Sound of Music, and it was so kind of soothing, ecclesiastical, and it had a storyline. And then here you are as a comedian, performing nationally and internationally, and then on the stage, on screen, as an actress, and now as a woman of God, one in ministry. Do you know that you were in the right place at the right time? Because in Hollywood and in those places, you know, people go to watch comedians because they want to laugh, because they're broken, they're going through transitions in their lives, and they need something, an outlet. And then when they're watching the visuals on the screen, it's because they're searching, they're looking for something. So you're in the right place at the right time, because, you know, when they see someone that's living a godly life, they're drawn to them, because the Word of God says no one can come unto the Father except he be drawn. But we're here in this vessel. We're here in this vessel,
right.
These vessels of honor that God has wrapped us in. And then he allows us to speak, to be a mouthpiece that change and transform lives on a daily basis. You know, you went from one person on your prayer line to over 50 people. You know, that doesn't happen. And people are excited about getting up at 6 o'clock. I've been getting up at 6 o'clock every Wednesday morning since I heard about your prayer call. Kelly Bruchard called me. She says, you know, during the time when your mom passed away, she called me and she says, "We got to pray for Hazel. We got to intercede for her." And I was like, okay, so, you know, you were on my prayer list, not knowing that I would be submitted to you in the spirit and being fed by you every Wednesday.
Girl.
So you are in the right place at the right time to make the divine connections, because those that are in Hollywood are broken. Sandra Bullock, she's broken. Tom Hanks, he's broken. And they need a light to look upon, to say this is the way. And God will allow you to move in those arenas so that the yokes shall be destroyed because of the anointing.
Wow.
See, God always has a better plan. You said about Jeremiah. He says, you know, I know the plans I have for your life, you know.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's so rich what you're saying. So rich, because that's right. That's right. And to really surrender, you know, not trying to figure it out. And the thing about God, and I'm sure you know this, Val, is that you don't get the whole picture at one time, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I'm always happy about that. Being a planner, you know, a visionary. I wonder, well, what's going to happen now? But you really have to be in obedience, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, just take this first step. And that's not always easy.
I was getting ready to say, it don't always feel good.
No. No. But you notice how it always turns out right.
Yes.
It always turns out. And that's the thing, you know, is that is really, and you know, when you go through stuff, it's really an opportunity to draw you closer. Because I don't know, you know, if my mom was still alive, and I might still be looking over here, and oh, let me read this now. You know what I mean? I don't know that I would have come back and found Christ in this wonderfully refreshing way that I have found him now. So, you know, but there's an appointed time, and this is my time. So,
you know,
it, so yeah.
You know, also, Hazelle, you know, since we're talking about God's word at this particular time of the interview, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah, when he was first walking into the ministry that God had for his life, he says, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So likewise, when your mother passed, when she ascended, her anointing fell back on you so that you could be able to move in the elements that you're moving right now. And then you went on to say that you were at dinner with the director, and he wrote in a script for you. How powerful is that? He wrote in a script for you doing what you're most passionate about and what you love to do right now, and that's ministry.
Girl, that to me is the thing that's so deep about all this. That is, to me, it's what's so deep about all this. I just think God has an amazing sense of humor, you know? Excuse me. I really, it's so profound to me. I what are the odds of that? You know? Like, what are the odds of that? What are the odds of that? Only God could orchestrate that.
Absolutely.
And I remember when he shared it with me, you know, I was a little hesitant at first, you know, because I wasn't sure, you know. And he was so sweet. I just love Stephen Daltrey. He's just a really good soul, really good guy. And he said, no, Hazelle, you know, you'll have, you know, in other words, I want to honor you. I want to honor how you see it. And, you know, if you, you know, because I was like, well, I don't want to make sure we're not making no fun of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And he goes, no, Hazelle, not at all. You tell me, you know, you tell me. And so they really just went out of their way to just, you know, capture this scene in the way that he captured it. And I haven't seen it all, but I was really pleased for the opportunity, you know, to be a part of something so important and so spectacular and such an important film, you know, that will give people a chance to heal and to deal with their own tragedies, because so many young children did, in fact, lose their parents during this 9/11. And I think that the film is going to provide a sense of healing for children, for adults, you know, for wives and husbands and partners, everybody who's lost their person in that. I think the film is a way for people to heal. So I think it's very important.
Absolutely. I'm speaking with Hazelle Goodman, and she is going to be appearing in the movie Christmas Day that will be released Christmas Day, called Extremely Loud and Extremely Close, with Tom Hanks and Sandra Bullock. And you can visit Hazelle on her website, www.hazelle.com, and, you know, send her a message and let her know that, you know, you're going to watch the movie, or you're going to, you know, patronize the film. And also catch her on Blog Talk Radio. And one of the good things about Blog Talk, Hazelle, is you can play the show over and over and over again. So those of you that are joining in late, you can replay the show in its entirety by just simply, you know, visiting the website. Again, those of you that are listening online, you can go on the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/soultopics, and you can catch Hazelle live every Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.blogtalkradio.com/Hazelle Goodman. And also, Hazelle, if you want to give out the number where they can call in, you can do that at that time, too, and any other way that they can connect with you. I think you have Facebook. If you can give all that information, I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, sure, yeah. Facebook, well, it's Hazelle Goodman, so they can find me that way. And, of course, as you mentioned earlier, my website, www.hazelgoodman.com. And the blog talk is www. I don't even know if we have to say these W's. I think people kind of automatically know, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, www.blogtalkradio.com/Hazel Goodman. And the number for my prayer call on Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. is 310-807-5107. That's 310-807-5107. Oh, you know what, Val? Just as I said that, what I realize is, again, the beautiful thing about the show being recorded and people having access to it, you don't have to repeat a number twice. They can just re-listen to the call and get the number.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for pointing that out to me. But we have people that won't replay the show, but will write it down right then. And then
right now,
connect with Facebook or just go to your website and see. So we want to make sure that we cover all the bases for individuals so that they can have access to you and, you know more about Hazel, the comedian, the actress, and the woman. You know, as I'm communicating with you, I'm just, you know, getting all kind of, you know, revelations in speaking with you. You were able and willing to step out and walk away, if need be, from your acting and being a comedian to follow what you knew was your heartbeat, was ministry. And God, in his love and purpose for your life, said, no, I want you to stay where you are because I have a larger platform for you. You have a platform that I can use you from. And see, one of the things I heard in my spirit when we were talking was that so many people don't want to walk away from things because they feel they will lose and miss out, when the reality is if they're willing to be obedient, they will gain.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, Val. That's a beautiful encouragement.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting you're saying that. I had this lovely conversation with a young man in the health food store. And he's a Christian from Ghana. And just a lovely spirited man. And he was talking about this very thing that you're saying. And he mentioned that so often people, for example, Abraham, Moses, a number of others, he mentioned, they had to leave. You know, when Moses killed that Egyptian, he ran away. I think it was like for 40 years before he came back.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, God told him, you know, come, leave your people, leave everybody, come, follow me. And it's so true. So often, you know, to really get the larger blessing of God, we're required oftentimes to walk away, to leave. And that is not easy on the flesh. It really isn't.
No, it's not.
You know, when you know something and you know this particular thing and this is what you do, and you know, oftentimes, I mean, like how he's doing with me, I'm still able to do my shows, you know. I transition. It's what I'm seeing is it's a transition that's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be willing to say, okay, you know what, I don't care what happens, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is my calling here. This is my calling, and God will make a way. And
absolutely.
To stand up on that. Yeah.
Yeah, if he wrote a script for you, he said he'll do exceedingly and abundantly.
Oh, man. More than you could ask or think, right?
Absolutely.
So what
do you think is next for you? Where do you see yourself growing to?
Yeah, I see myself. I see myself with a mega church. I see myself as a, you know, just a fabulous, huge ministry on television, radio, internet, speaking to millions of people around the world, inspiring them, using everything that I've been trained with, using my humor, using, you know, my drama, using my thinking, my wisdom, using all of that for the glory of God and speaking to the world. Is that clear?
I see that. You know, and amazingly
I want to be a female. Yeah, I want to be like a female T.D. Jakes, a female Bill Winston. You know, I love Pastor Bill Winston. He's been such an instrument in my growth. You know, and my own minister, Bishop Mullins. You know, these gentlemen have been just enormous in my spiritual growth. But that's what I see. You know, Joel Osteen, Hazel Goodman. You know, that's what I see, girl. What? Let's wake up and see Hazel. Hazel is on 11 o'clock in the morning. Come on, y'all. Come on.
Well, you know,
a little later than
the choice, so we choose it.
That, well, you better speak. Exactly. So that's what I see. Did I answer that question?
Yes, you did indeed answer that question. I'm going to open up the lines if you wish. You want me to take some calls if anyone to have questions
sure.
for you?
Yeah, no, not a problem.
Okay. Let's start here with Shirley. Are you on the line? Do you have any questions?
Yes,
for
I am. I do. You know, in listening to you, I am, you know, I'm on the call on Wednesday morning too, and all the different things, all these gifts that God has given you and how you're so freely sharing them with the world, and I love your vision. I can see it too. Hazel Goodman, just like Joel Osteen. I, you know, when you say that, you say it with so much conviction. And it's like it's so much power in your words. And I know we talked about that, about the power of words. And I just want to say, I appreciate you so much. And
my question to you
is, how does it feel to be walking in your purpose?
Oh, what a great, great question. Well, first of all, let me thank you for being on the call because I wasn't aware that you were on the call. So that's really lovely. It's nice to meet you. You know, it feels amazing. It feels amazing. What does that mean? I know I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you know you're right. You know, you've had those times in your life when maybe you told somebody something and you knew you were right. And they might have doubted, but you knew you were right. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
I just know I'm right. And you know what's great about it? No matter what challenges come, and they come, but no matter what challenge or storm I'm facing, I know I'm right. Because I'm following this path, and I've got my eyes on God. And how could I be wrong with God?
Absolutely.
You know, no doubt comes to me at all. You know, even with performing, I would sometimes, you know, you have insecurities, some doubts. I have none with this. None. Absolutely none. I have no doubt. I know I'm right. I just know I'm right. And there's just a peace that comes with that. Now, does that not mean I don't get scared at times, you know, as I'm crossing through, if I'm going through a dark place to get to the other side of my vision? Yeah, you know, and I feel like, oh, that'll come up, but it doesn't hold me back. It doesn't hold me back. It just, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It confirms that what is, you know, it's a confirmation. Because that's what I feel when, it's like it's hard to explain, but you know, and you know that you know. And it may not, even sometimes it doesn't seem like it's real. And sometimes you wonder, am I really supposed to? But then it's like, This is it. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I know.
And you
I
have
can't
to
explain
guard it
to others, but I know.
And you have to really guard it. You know, you really have to guard it. Because, you know, people will try to put doubt in your way and say, well, you know, how's that going to work out? And how? When you have God first, what is more important? I mean, I see God as having created the heavens and the earth, okay? As well as, so, you know, the psalm tells us, you know, that God has his throne in the heavens, that his, you know, he has prepared his throne in the heavens. So I see God as having created the heavens and the earth and dwells in the heavens as well as on earth, as well as his spirit is inside of us, okay?
when you're mm-hmm. looking to do the right thing. What could be more important on the planet than that? Well, so if you're an accountant or you're an attorney, but you know that you are, God's got your back, and everything you do, you're doing it in alignment with His word and His will. You're seeking Him first. You're asking for guidance. So an attorney has to go and present a case. But, you know, he's not depending, he's not thinking he's fabulous. He's making time to meditate and to ask God for wisdom and insight. You know, a school teacher, same thing. A housewife, same thing. An accountant, you know, somebody that you know, pumps out gas. A post office. Doesn't matter who you are. But if you tune in, how could you be wrong? I'm not saying you're not going to have challenges, but you know when you're right. So it just feels wonderful.
Yeah.
It just, there's a level of like you said, an assurance. There's no second guessing it inside of me.
Right. And I love the fact you said you have to guard it. You really have to guard that, because you will have people out there who will challenge that and try to bring doubt into it. But you have to guard it, and you have to know that it's right, because it's I love it. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the reasons I often talk about who you have around you, who's in your space, who are you listening to, what are the voices and the spirits you have surrounding you. Because I know, you know, I do my prayer and meditations in the morning, and sometimes I can't get up. I can't answer the phone sometime until God releases me with instructions of what I need, because I need my direction every day. And sometimes if I get up too soon, and I'm, you know, I'm in the public just like you are. Well, not as large as you are, because you're on a more national platform. But I'm in the public constantly dealing with individuals, them calling me for advice, serving individuals as well. And it is a battle. It is a struggle at times, because people always want to give their opinion or say, well, why don't you do this and why don't you do that or this and that. And I have to stop and say, no, I heard God. And although it may look dark and although it may seem like it's so bleak and there's no breakthrough in the way, I know what He said. And I'm like Job when he said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you, because I don't have anybody else but Him.
That's
He
right.
knows the beginning
right.
and the end. I have nobody else but Him. And that's what it's like to be in the purpose of God, to be in the zone of God, right underneath His armpits, to know that He is, first of all, who He says He is, and then trust
right.
and believe Him to perform that which He promised.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, because we were talking.
Remember
we were talking,
I
said to you, I said, Hazel, when you're in align with that assignment God has for your life, the world will beg for what you have. And you was like, oh, right, I got to write that down. Say that again.
That's right. Yeah. It's just, you know, being on purpose, you know, knowing that that's what you have to do, and then seeking the guidance, you know, for whatever it is you have to do, whatever practical steps you have to take in the natural, you know, whatever things that have to be done. Because, you know, you don't all of a sudden wake up one morning and, oh, voila, sometimes everything's like we were saying earlier. It's not like because you know your purpose now, you know, everything is laid out and you have, it's just all there. There's still steps. And a lot of it in the beginning is a faith walk, really. You know, when you hear people's stories. I mean, when we studied Abraham's life, right, it was, you know, yeah, okay, great, God said leave. So he picked up and he left. He was following. But, you know, there was a famine in the land. So it's not like it's always, it's not always smoothed out, but you're always taken care of. No matter what's going on, you will be provided for. Everything you need comes at the right time.
And we also want to let the listeners know that regardless of where you see yourself right now, that is not all that there is to your life. Yes, you may be broken. Yes, you may be going through. You may be in transition. You may have to, you know, move out of your home. You might lose your car. You know, these are things that can be replaced. But in the midst of that, find and see the lesson that's involved with the transition. Because within it, there is a story that God wants you to tell in the midst of it and something that he wants you to see. You know, when we have a lot of things in our possession and we start losing them, so some people, you know, take their life because they lost their things and not looking at the greater thing that they still have them. Because as long as you have you, you have the abilities to begin, create, and start again. And with you, God will make all things possible because he will give you direction. A lot of times things distract us from the promise. We have too much clutter in our lives, so we can't see the direction that God wants us to take. So therefore, we have to separate ourselves, come out from amongst the things, come out from amongst the people, and be willing to say, I'll give it all up if I can have your promise. I'll give it all up if you just show me my purpose. I'll give it all up if you just lead and guide me. I'll give it all up. Because in giving it all up, you will get to the end of the road and find out that there's a far more weight of glory. You know, the word also says in Romans that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time shall not be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, if he says the glory is going to be revealed in us, that means that there's so much more. There's some sharpening, some shining that has to be done in our inner man and our soul. The glory is in us, and we need to make it manifest. How? By pulling off the dark clothes, pulling off the world, and walking in the spirit that he would have us walk in, as Hazel did. Those of you who are listening, her career was there on the table, you know, where, you know, looking to go to another level, and God said, no, I want you to stop and acknowledge me and listen to what I have for your life. I want you to walk in the steps I have for your life. And her name was already great, but he says, I'll make it greater. Her vision and plan says, I want to reach souls. I want a platform where I can reach more people for not her glory, but for God's glory. And that's where God is going to really come forth and use you even the more.
Well, thank you. I received that. That's beautiful. Really.
I've been talking with Hazel Goodman. She's a comedian, actress, and a woman of God who walks in the spirit of excellence. And she will be appearing in Extremely Loud, Extremely Close, opening Christmas Day with the stars Tom Hanks and Sandra Bullock. Hazel, what message would you like to leave for our listening audience tonight? How would you want Hazel Goodman to be known, to be remembered?
Well, I think, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 comes to mind for me and to offer to people. Because I think particularly in this climate that we're in, there's just so much unrest and so much uncertainty and that sense of disturbance that people feel. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Because sometimes you won't understand it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, which means to seek him, and he shall direct your path. So always know that you're going to be walking in the right path as long as you put your trust in God and you seek God.
Well done. Well said.
To give somebody a word, you know. I think that's for me, you know. To always have an empowering word, an encouraging word, is how I see myself wanting to be remembered at the end of the day. It's not so much about what I did or what awards I won or, you know, my performances and all of that. That's great. But how does that impact somebody else's life, you know? my success doesn't really impact anybody's life. But if I can encourage a life, you know, through my faith, and if I can teach them my faith, if I can teach them how I build faith so that I can do the things that I have to do, that's what I'm interested in. That's impact. And that's what I'm up to.
This has been a glorious hour. And I'm honored to have the opportunity to interview Hazel live.
And in Technicolor. Oh, man.
Yeah, I want to encourage all our listeners to visit your website and, you know, hit you up on Facebook. And by all means, please, I encourage you to be on that 6 a.m. call in the morning where she will rightly divide the word of truth and pray in the morning. I look forward to it. It sets the tone of my week, not just my day, my week, because I'm always anticipating and wanting more of this. And you can, and the good thing is she's moved to Blog Talk, so you can play it over and over again for your daily bread. And those of you that don't have a church, this is a perfect resting place for you to be until you're able to go into a situation where you can find a church that you'll be comfortable with. You know, Hazel, we got a lot of people that don't go anywhere because they've been hurt by church folks and pastors and been abused and stuff. But God's word is right all by itself.
Amen. That's exactly right.
The bottom
and
line.
Until I get my big, big church, they can come to the call. They can come to the phone line. But, yeah, no, you're so right about that. And I always tell people, you know, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, that's so important not to do that.
And, you know, we're always looking for an excuse why to sin.
Oh, girl, isn't that the truth? I know, because folks will stay, well, like I said on the call, folks will stay on with a bad boss in a terrible job for 30 years. But as soon as they get their foot stepped on in a church, somebody said something or they didn't say something or they did something contradictory, they leave the church for 30 years because you're right. They want to go play.
There's a lot of
wonderful playing. That's right. But, you know, I tell you, you got to live a little bit to understand that song. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. There really is no place else to go. You end up coming back. You know, if you're fortunate to live long enough anyway, you end up coming back.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, we're wrapped up another Hot Topics from the Soul, and I had my guest with me, Hazel Goodman. Please replay the show. And also, I encourage you to visit my website, fromthesoulofawoman.com. For www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. And for those of you, once again, that are interested in expanding your financial portfolio, let me share some secrets with you. Go to unveilingsecrets.com. You can actually get a business startup, get a website, blog talk site, and it'll actually lead you from steps 1 to 4 on how to start your business from home. And you can make money from a business that you start from home for free. How magnificent is that? You know, as I said, people always look for an excuse why they can't do this and why they can't get that. Well, I just eliminated all excuses.
You sure did. You closed all the doors.
I eliminated all excuses. So you can, if you're home and stuck, don't have a car, and you got a computer, everybody got a computer, even if they have it on their cell phone, you can operate your business from your cell phone or wherever you are with a computer. So I encourage you to go to unveilingsecrets.com and get the information off there on how you can start your own business. And thank you once again, Hazel, for being who you are.
Oh, thank you so much.
And for answering the call.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Good night, everyone, and remember, love affects our past, our present, and our future. It's an emotion and a gift given to us from God, and it should never, ever hurt. Good night. Have a powerful week.